I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come.
Coming Alive by Jim Eldridge, with Carl Howman as Terry King and Phyllis Logan as Sandra Gaines. Part 1. Good Sports.
Well, I know what I will do for sure. Well, I pray, yes, I pray, the Lord will come and take my troubles away.
Dear Chalky, thanks for your invite to the reunion of the Cell Block D Escape Committee. It's nice to know that most of us are legally out. Things here on Groville Farm are going from strength to strength. The community centre is now well up and running with loads of things going on. There's music, parties, sports, plays and concerts for all ages. I'm going to miss it when I finish here in 3 months' time, but at least I'll be a free man. And I got plans. I can't tell you what they are yet because you'd laugh. At the moment, I'm moonlighting with a job at nights. I'm standing out there in all weathers getting abuse. And no, I haven't become a special constable. Let's hope that Billy the Mole Withers gets out in time for the reunion, even if he has to tunnel his way there. All the best from your mate, Terry.
Look, are you going to let me in or what?
I'm sorry, mate, the answer's or what.
Look, I've got money. My money's as good as anyone.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, mate. But you've had a skinful, I'm sorry.
But it's a club.
Yes, yes, but it's a dance club. Come on, come. Look, why don't you go home and sleep it off? What is it the poet says?
Up your jacksie.
Well, no, I was thinking more of sleep after toil, Spencer.
What's Marks and Spencer got to do with it?
No, Edmund Spencer, the poet.
No, I don't want to come in here anyway. Does my head in.
Yeah? Does my head in as well, mate. But it earns a crust.
Six, four, three, seven. Mrs. Baxter, how are you? I see. Chekhov, yes, I see. Well, I'm very sorry about this, Mrs. Baxter. I thought we'd got this sorted out, but obviously... No. Yes, I will. I'll talk to you tomorrow. If it's that bloody basketball again, I'll kill them.
I do wish you wouldn't use profane language. It's a bad example to Gail.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mother.
Although I'm sure that among the people you associate with these days, a word like that doesn't even count as profanity.
What sort of people do you mean?
Oh, you know perfectly well what I'm talking about. Criminals and druggies. Why you had to go into this sort of job, I'll never know.
Because I can do good.
You can do good in other jobs. You have a degree. You could have gone into the law.
And worked with criminals and druggies.
Oh, honestly, when you're in this sort of mood, there's no talking to you.
Could you listen out for Gail? I have to go out for a while. I won't be long.
Oh?
I'm afraid a bunch of druggies are running riot in the town and I have to go and beat them up.
Really?
There's a problem at Grove Hill Farm.
Oh, that place.
I won't be long. If Gail wakes up, tell her I'll be home very soon.
Providing you're not shot in some drive-in shootout.
Drive-by, Mum. And I think that's highly unlikely, as I'm going to discuss Chekhov.
Chekhov?
Yes, he was a Russian playwright who wrote the Chekhov.
I am perfectly aware who Chekhov is. I'm just surprised to find his name mentioned in the same breath as this Grove Hill place.
Right, everyone, what
do you look like?
What do you mean?
You look like... What's his name?
George Clooney?
No, Dracula. Your eyes are all bloodshot.
Well, thank you.
Serious, Terry, you'll get some proper sleep.
I will. This nightclub job, it's just short-term till I get a few bob behind me.
Sandra'll go mad if she finds out.
Well, of course she will. What choice have I got?
We'll leave it till you finish here. You've only got 3 months left, then you can get a proper job.
Yeah, I can't afford to wait. Time's passing. And if I want to do the right thing by Sandra...
Hey up, hey up. Talk to the devil.
What?
Oh. So, the dynamic duo.
Sandra, I didn't expect to see you this evening.
I didn't expect to be here this evening, but I've just had Mrs. Baxter on the phone.
Oh, let me guess. About her drama group.
Exactly. She tells me she's finding it difficult for you to find a space for her to rehearse because of all the sporting activities. Like tonight as well, by the look of it. I suppose this is your basketball team practicing again, eh, Steve?
Oh, come on. Do they look like my basketball team? That bloke over there's got to be about 50. Look at Mrs. Hackett on the beam. She's 60 if she's a day.
They could be reserves.
If you must know, it's the Olympics.
Oh, Grove Hill Farm are putting a team into the next Olympics, are they?
No, everyone's fired up. Suddenly, sport's the big thing.
Although, frankly, most of this lot have got as much chance of getting to the Olympics as a one-legged man in an arse-kicking contest.
That is not the point. We're helping to create a fitter, healthier society.
And what about Mrs. Baxter and her drama group?
Oh, come on. You're always telling me there's no money to run this place. It's got to be self-supporting.
Yes, but...
The people on this estate can't afford to go to a gym, but they can afford to come here. And a few bob they pay gives this place a very important income.
Yeah, more than Mrs. Baxter and her drama group, that's for sure.
Man cannot live by running shoes alone.
Bread. Matthew, chapter 4.
Verse 4.
Though there's a very similar line in Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3.
Does he say anything about being punched in the mouth by annoyed people?
Not in the King James version, no.
Come on, you're only taking this attitude because you're not into sport.
Oh, what do you mean? I'll have you know, I am shooter on our social services netball team.
Netball?
And what's that supposed to mean?
Steve.
No, nothing. It's just, well, ain't like basketball, is it?
Well, are you saying that basketball is a sport and netball isn't?
No, it's just that, well, basketball's got an edge to it.
Oh, dear.
You know what I mean?
No. What I do know is that our netball team could run rings round that bunch of clodhoppers you call a basketball team.
Oh, yeah? You'd like to put some money on that, would you?
Hang on, look, come on.
No, I would not. We'll do it for the pleasure of winning the game.
I don't think this is a good idea.
No, you're wrong. My basketball team against your netball team. Right, I'm out of here. I've got to see a bloke about a radiator for a Volvo. See you later.
Not into sports, indeed. Can we go into your office?
I thought you came here to talk about Mrs. Baxter and her drama group.
I did. And you will make sure that they get some space to rehearse, won't you?
Yeah, okay.
Are you all right, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look well. Your eyes are all red.
Oh, no, it's all right. Yeah, I've just got a bit of a cold coming, that's all. Keeps me awake. So, how are you? How's things with your mum?
Don't ask.
What's it been now? Nearly a week?
Oh, it feels like a century. Oh, I know I haven't seen as much of her as she would have liked since Dad died.
Your mother lives hundreds of miles away. Now, she can't expect you to keep popping in to see her just because she's on her own now.
No. So instead, she's come to me.
When is she going?
Never. I keep dropping hints like, oh, don't you miss your friends?
Careful, she might invite them down. I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too. But while my mother's here...
I know. Got to keep it a secret. Of course, it's been a while since you've checked my room at the hostel. I mean, I could be keeping all sorts of things in there.
Is that the best you can do in seduction lines?
I guess I'm out of practice.
Oh, it'll have to do for now. I haven't got time for you to come up with anything better. Come on.
Yabba-dabba-doo. I'm sorry about the surroundings.
The place isn't important. It's the person I'm with. And I want to be with you.
Yeah, but I don't want us to be like this.
Nor do I. And we won't always be. Once you've officially finished your sentence, we can be open.
Yeah, it's still not going to be easy for you at work, though, is it? Moving in with an ex-con.
I don't see it that way.
Well, whatever. I do love you, Sandra. And I do want it to be right for us. You, me and Gail. I want to provide the best possible life.
Hang on. We provide the best possible life. We're a team.
I know.
Oh, look at the time. Mother will be wondering where I am.
Oh, Mother. It's worse than being 16 again, isn't it?
I never did this when I was 16.
No.
I was much more interested in netball.
Oh, here.
Yeah?
That bet you had with Steve.
Oh,
that. I was just winding him up.
So you won't be playing?
Hardly. I'll have to mention it to some of the girls just in case word gets out in the ask, but rest assured none of them will be interested in getting involved. But it was wonderful seeing the look on Steve's face when I challenged him. No, Mr. Aintree, the CSA wasn't set up to give you money for your children. It was set up to collect money from you.
Ah, Miss Gaines.
Yes, Mr. Preston?
I've just had a phone call from Mr. Barraclough at the finance executive.
Oh, yes?
He tells me that his colleague, Amanda Wilson, will be playing in a netball match with you against Grove Hill Farm.
Ah, actually...
Brilliant, Miss Gaines.
Pardon?
Mr. Barraclough feels, and I agree with him, that this is wonderful publicity for us as social services.
I see.
Mr. Barraclough thinks, and I agree with him, that this could do an awful lot for our image. So, I just called in to say that you have my full support. I shall be there on the day, cheering you on.
I see the preschool playgroup's building up its numbers.
Yes, great. Listen, this challenge match of yours.
Yes, it looks like it's on.
Yeah, but I'm still not sure what rules you'll be playing by.
Well, netball rules, of course.
As long as Steve's lot aren't playing by basketball rules.
Why on earth should they? Steve's perfectly well aware that netball and basketball have different rules.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. For one thing, I bet he doesn't even know the teams are different sizes.
And how come you're so well informed?
Well, I was always more interested in the girls' sports at school.
I bet you were terrible at school.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Hello. I thought it was you.
Oh, hello.
You know, at the Dark Angel.
Huh?
Oh, don't you get cold standing there all night. Oh, drat. Darren spilt his paint in water. Darren, told you...
What did she mean?
Do you know... I haven't got the faintest idea. She must be confusing me with someone else.
The Dark Angel? That's that club in the old warehouse in Montrose Street.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me dead in that place. All that techno music thumping away. So, Sandra, this match of yours, you'll be wearing the full kit, will you?
Ah, there you are, Sandra.
Mother, what are you doing here?
That nice Mr. Preston at your office told me he thought you'd be here.
You've been to the office? Why?
I wanted to see you at work.
But...
How do you do? Terry King. Pleasure to meet you. Sandra, she's told me so much about you.
Oh, really?
All of it good.
Oh, I'm pleased to know I'm an object of such interest to my daughter's friends.
Mother, I'll give you a lift back.
But I haven't had a look round yet.
Look, why don't I give you a guided tour?
Oh, wow.
No, we're going. Come on, Mother.
Trust me, this steering wheel will fit on any make of car.
Yeah, but it's not just any make of car. It's a Morris Traveller, you know, with the wood bits.
Ah. Take my advice, mate. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it?
Woodworm? Dutch elm disease?
Yeah, but it's 40 years old and there's nothing wrong with it.
At the moment. But you know these woodworm? One day there you'll be driving up the M1, suddenly, poof, you'll be sitting there in a pile of metal and sawdust. I'll tell you what. I'll take it off your hands.
I don't know. I only wanted a steering wheel.
Well, what's the use of a steering wheel if you ain't got nothing to put it on?
No, I'll leave it. Tar anyway.
I'll do you a good price.
A good price for what? Oh,
I nearly got my hands on a Morris Traveller. Brilliant cars, like gold dust they are. Terry, you look knackered.
I don't look that bad.
Oh, you've got to give up that job.
I'm thinking about it. I nearly got caught out.
Who by?
One of the mums who comes to the preschool playgroup. She mentioned she'd see me outside the club. And Sandra heard her.
Oh, dodgy. How'd you talk you out of that one?
Well, luckily, Sandra's mum turned up. Got me off the hook.
Sandra's mum? She's still around?
And how? Anyway, look, I've come to have a word with you.
Oh, hang on. Incoming. Oh, it's Wendy.
Well, are you going to answer it?
Yeah, in a minute. I've got to read it first, haven't I?
Eh?
Text message. She's a one. Yeah, have a look at that.
What? You knutsman yum off. What is this, Martians?
Text message, mate. I bet you can't swim. You couldn't keep your mouth shut for long enough. What a girl.
Cool. Hey, what's this? H2GNNGNNGNNGNNGNN.
Have to go now. Going, going, gone.
Ghost, roll on. Listen, about this challenge match between your basketball team and Sandra's.
Oh, life. Yeah, take my tip, mate. Put as much dosh as you can on my boys. We are going to hammer them.
Yeah, yeah, but has it occurred to you that you are trying to put together two totally different games?
Of course they ain't. Chuck a ball for a hoop.
How many in a basketball team?
Five.
How many in a netball team?
Dunno, five.
Seven. Who can score a goal in basketball?
Whoever gets it.
And in netball? Shooter or goal attack only.
So, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, it's not as straightforward as you may think.
Well, I can't call it off. Blokes are looking forward to it. Sandra can call it off if she wants to.
Well, she can't. Her boss has got involved somehow. Good PR and all that.
Well then. Now, this is one the boys are really looking forward to. Stuffing a bunch of civil servants. Magic.
I can't see why you're so upset.
Because my work is my work and my home is my home and I like to keep them separate.
But I'm interested in you. I like to know the sort of people you work with. Like that Terry at the centre.
Terry?
When did you give him permission to call you Sandra?
But it is my name.
Take my advice. Keep people who work under you at a distance.
Oh, you are such a snob.
I'm just thinking of you. You don't know men. They see a woman on her own, fair game. You ought to get yourself a husband.
I had a husband.
A decent one. What about that nice Mr. Preston?
Oh!
Is he married?
Mother, really?
26, 34, 17, 73.
Good afternoon, Mr. Preston.
Mrs. McKendrick, if you're looking for your daughter, I believe she's out visiting clients.
No, no, it's you I came to see.
Who?
When I came the other day, I noticed how peaky you looked.
Peaky?
Not well. You looked as if you had a headache.
Well, actually, I do suffer from recurrent...
I thought as much, which is why I thought I'd drop you in a wee bottle of this. It's an old tonic my family swears by. I was given it by my mother and she by hers.
Oh.
It's all perfectly safe. A mixture of herbs.
I see. Well, that's very kind of you.
Not at all. It's the stress that does it.
Pardon?
These headaches. A man in your position, all that responsibility.
Oh, that is so true.
Do you relax enough? Socially, I mean.
Well, this job is very demanding. Even at home, I find myself thinking about it.
Exactly. And that is the root of the problem. What you need to do is to take some time off one evening. Go out with a friend.
Easier said than done.
I'm sure not. I bet you that right in this office there's someone who would be very keen if you only asked them. To go out, I mean.
Well, I don't know. I mean, office relationships can be very,
but
very...
But who else knows the sort of pressure that you're under than someone you work with? Who else can empathise with you?
Yes, that's true. I suppose I do work too hard.
Of course you do.
Yes.
And all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Actually, my name's Edward.
Well, you know what I mean. Edward. Cast your eye round. I don't think you'll have far to look.
No pushing, please, Elvis. Everyone will be able to get in.
Just don't step on the blue suede shoes, man.
Right, Tel. Hello, Steve. What are you doing here? I didn't think this was your scene. It's 60s icon night.
Nah, not me, mate. No, I bought you a flask of hot soup.
What?
Wendy made it for you. Well, she put a kettle on anyway.
You are a champ.
I've been worried about you. Not sleeping, not eating, standing out here in the cold.
Ooh. Oh, no.
What's up? I thought you liked chicken.
It's Preston.
Where?
Mr. Preston in the queue.
Where? I can't see him.
Where in the blonde wig? And the dress? And the fishnets? And the stiletto heels?
Stroll on, I never knew he was like that.
Well, it's 60s icon night, isn't it? He's dressed himself up like, I'm not sure who, really.
Could be Dusty Springfield?
But yeah. Well, whoever it's supposed to be, this drops me right in it.
Watch where you're treading.
I'm sorry, I'm not used to these heels.
Well, you shouldn't be here anyway. It's not Rocky Horror Night, it's 60s icons.
I am not Rocky Horror, I am Kathy Kirby.
Yeah? Well, your stiletto just went right through my tights. Look.
I think that highly unlikely.
You're calling me a liar?
All I'm saying is that my heel would not have done that. Those tights must have been like that already.
You are calling me a liar.
I have never called anyone a liar.
I don't believe this.
Can't let him catch you, will
you? I know.
Stroll on, she's eating him. Quick, scar mark.
Can't kill
her. Oi, you lay off him. Mr. King.
You want some as well, do you? Come on.
Look out, the police are coming.
Mr. Preston, go on, I'll handle him. Go on.
Right, where are they?
They ain't. I had to shout something to get shot of her, didn't I?
Oh,
good thinking, Boy Wonder. But Preston's spotted me moonlighting now. All I need is for him to start asking questions and I'm sunk.
He ain't going to say nothing, is he? I can't see him admitting he got into a fight outside a nightclub dressed as Dusty Springfield, can you?
Let's hope you're right.
Of course I am, trust me.
And there you are, behind my back, roaming around the streets, getting beaten up.
It wasn't behind your back. Oh, all right, it was. But I wasn't being beaten up. She just had a very heavy, heavy handbag. Well, I think it had a brick in it. I can't believe Preston told you.
No, he didn't. The girl did.
The girl that hit him?
Oh, of course not, you idiot. The girl who was with him. She works in our office. She was the one dressed up as Marianne Faithful. And when she said he called you Mr. King...
Oh, bit of a giveaway, eh?
What were you doing at this nightclub? You said you wouldn't be seen dead in it.
I wasn't in it. I was outside it. Working.
Working? What as?
A doorman. Bouncer, I suppose you'd call it, technically.
What? Oh, and you were going to tell me eventually, I suppose.
I couldn't tell you. I know I'm not supposed to work for money while I'm still officially doing my sentence.
So you lied? To me?
I didn't lie to you. I just didn't tell you. If you didn't know about it and anything went wrong, you couldn't get into trouble.
Of all the deceitful, underhanded...
Look, please. No, listen. In 3 months' time, I finish my sentence, which means I finish here and start looking for a job.
Right.
But I just don't want any sort of job. I want a good job. And for that, I need qualifications. So, I've decided to do a degree.
In nightclub bouncing? Oh, sorry.
The thing is, doing a degree costs money. And I... they haven't got any.
I'd support you.
I don't want you to support me. Can you imagine what people would say?
I don't care. I trust you. At least I did until this happened.
I decided to look around for a way to raise some dosh, and this offer came along, cash in hand.
Tax evasion? That's an illegal act straight away.
Okay, I was wrong. But can't you understand? I want to do the right thing by you when we're together.
What hours have you been working?
Midnight till 5 in the morning.
God, no wonder you look so terrible.
Well, thanks. A bit of flattery does a man good. Oh, I'm sorry.
So am I. You've got to pack it in.
I quit last night. After getting bashed in the eye like that, it seemed the best thing to do anyway.
I can't get over Preston actually going to a place like the Dark Angel. I wonder what put that idea into his head.
Right, girls, second half.
Remember, no set rules except no physical contact and no hanging onto the ball. Pilgrim, six aside. Anyone can score. 20 minutes to go. Play.
Come on, Pilgrims!
Come on, Pilgrims! Give me some money, get stuck in!
They're not supposed to get stuck in. This is a non-contact sport.
Oh, yeah, right.
Come on, girls, let's see a basket.
Mr. King.
Don't talk to the devil.
Mr. King, Terry.
Yeah? How are you feeling today, Mr. Preston?
Oh, fine, fine. I haven't had chance to thank you, you know, for coming to my rescue like that.
Oh, no problem here. I was lucky I just happened to be out on my evening walk at that time.
Yes, yes. The police?
Oh, no problem. I straightened them all out.
Oh, did you mention my name?
Oh, good heavens, no. Now, as far as they're concerned, you weren't there. And no charges are being pressed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. King. I appreciate your discretion.
Right, referee. Well spotted.
Excuse me, missus, but if that was a foul, then I'm the king of Russia.
Keep your nerve, Sandra. If you get this basket, you'll win.
Well, that should take the pressure off her.
Do I take it the match is nearly over?
Well, by my watch, this penalty could well be the last shot of the game. If Sandra gets this, the girls will win.
Hold your nerve, blokes. She's bound to miss it.
Ow! Ow, you hit me.
And if you try to put my daughter off again, I'll do even worse. Come on, Sandra. Just throw it.
I can't look.
Oh. Yay! There. What do you say to that, Steve the man, Addison?
Outrageous! That was never a foul!
Congratulations, Miss Gaines. Well played.
Yes, well done, dear. Oh,
that was brilliant. And under pressure like that.
Is no one on the side of fair play?
Want a rematch?
No. I don't think that's a good idea. For one thing, there's Mrs. Baxter over there, and I believe she wants a word with you about rehearsal space.
Ooh, you're right. But I think, Chekhov, your days are numbered.
Well, I've been thinking about my situation.
In part one of Coming Alive, Terry King was played by Carl Howman and Sandra Gaines by Phyllis Logan. Steve Addison was Ben Crow, Mrs. McKendrick, Sandra Vo, Mr. Preston, David Holt, the drunk man, Ewan Bailey, the netball player, Helen Longworth, and the girl at the club, Sarah Paul. Yes, I pray. Coming Alive is written by Jim Eldridge and was directed by Marilyn Imrie.